All right. Good morning, afternoon, whichever it is. On the injury front, Kevin Balls, he's not going to be able to do anything. It's still probably going to be a couple of days before he can get back out on the field. Jake O'Connell has a bruised knee, and he will not be practicing today. Ryan Lilja has a back, and he will not practice today. Wiley is still nursing that hamstring. He'll see what he can do and go from there. Limited, Kendrick Lewis will be limited. He will, he's been going through some individuals. He'll continue to do that. Steve Breston jammed his wrist, and so he'll be limited today with a wrist. Toribio is still nursing his ankle. Bailey is still nursing his ankle, but he's been doing a little something, so he should be doing a little bit more. Jaleel Brown is still nursing his injury, and he should be doing a little bit more, though, because he was able to do a little bit in the game. He had a groin. Dexter McCluster got hit on the shoulder, and he's got a sore shoulder, so we're not going to give him any contact. And so as a result of the injuries, I'm not going to be in pads today. I'm going to hold it off till tomorrow to go in pads to give these guys a chance to recover a little bit and get back. And so, but we're preparing and getting ready to go down to New Orleans to play a team who were similar to us, really. Both teams are struggling, and so we'll see if we can improve some of the things that we need to improve to try to win a game. And so that's where we are.
How about Jamal Charles? Will he be full in practice there?
Yeah, he'll be in practice today.
Did he get injured in the game, or is it just soreness?
He fell on his knee, got bruised, came up limping, and so we took him out rather than leave him in there and expose him a little bit more. And then as it developed, the other players were doing decent, so, didn't feel a need to put him back in at that moment.
When you are happy with the way guys are practicing, but you're not winning a game on Sunday, do you still just continue to grind and go with the program, or do you change some things up in practice?
Well, you can only change so much in practice, the way it's structured, and you have to get done the things that you feel like you need to do in the different areas that you're preparing for that day. And so you kind of have to continue doing what you've been doing and emphasize the things that you feel like you need to emphasize. And what I've found over the years is that if you try to work on the things that are causing you problems and improve those things, then you have a chance to get better. And that's what we're trying to focus on doing.
How important is leadership from your players in times like this?
Well, yeah, leadership is critical all the time, but particularly in rough times. I think your leaders help hold the team together and help keep the team together. And so having good leaders on the team is a positive thing.
That's my next question. Does this team have good leaders? Who are you looking towards? Who are you looking to try to spark things up and hold things together?
Well, the captains on the team, like Ryan Lilger, Matt Castle, Derek Johnson, who else do we have?
Barry.
Yeah, Eric Berry, Dustin, then Copper. Those are some experienced guys. There's some youth in that group who take ownership in the team and want the team to do well. And they kind of demand of the guys around them to perform, I think that those guys are a good group. They hold the team together. They push the team as it's needed, and they push themselves to perform.
Did you appoint them, or are they selected by the team?
They were selected.
Do you think maybe this team's lost a little bit of leadership? Guys like Thomas Jones and Casey Wegman and even McGraw, McClain. Has there been a little bit of a void before these new leaders have kind of?
Well, anytime you lose veteran leadership, you know, then the other leadership has to come on and take his place, you know. And like I say, I think the leaders that we have are good leaders. They're not bad leaders by any stretch of the imagination. Now, you know, an experienced guy is better than a rookie. You know, you can't get around that.
Romeo, there's been almost 1,600 points scored the first 2 weeks of the season. That's more than any other two-week span in league history. Do you have any idea why offenses seem to be so much ahead of defenses right now?
Well, you know what? As the game has changed and offenses are spreading the field and putting more ability on the field and being able to get out of, quote, bad plays and into good plays, offenses are moving the chains and they are able to change field position and end up scoring more as a result of it.
Is there something defenses can do to, I mean, you're obviously trying, but something that can kind of get the balance back to where it used to be?
Well, I think that generally personnel is an issue in that, you know, and if you've got fast, if an offense has all fast guys, all right, then defensively you try to put as many fast guys out there to counteract that speed. And basically, you try to double some guys, but you can't double everybody, and so some guys have to stand alone, you know, and so when you stand alone, you have to make the play, you know, and if the quarterback is able to get to that guy who's standing alone, well, you know, then if we make the play, it's good. If they make the play, it's not good.
Are there other things that, you know, rules to protect the quarterback or pass interference or anything like that that factors into maybe helping out the offense a little bit and making things tougher for the defense?
Well, I mean, you know, that that offensively, you know, everybody wants to see the ball move up and down the field. I don't know that people are enamored by a 10-7 game, you know, or 7-3 game, unless you win. But the nature of the game has been to try to get chunks of yards, and chunks of yards are easier than 3 yards in a cloud of dust, you know, and defense has gotten so that the 3 yards in the cloud of dust philosophy is much harder to get. You know, because you can put the guys down in the box and make it really hard to get those 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So offenses have said, rather than beat our head against the wall, let's spread it out where maybe I can get me a matchup and there's more space for one guy to work against another guy. And now if I make a play, that 3 yards becomes 15, you know, and it would have taken me 4 plays to get that. Now I can get it in one.
Isn't that... I mean, basically, didn't Buffalo spread you out and then run it?
Sure.
I mean, that was seemed to be what their plan was, to go with passing formations and then run the ball.
They did.
You had, talking about chunks, you had 2 chunks in one drive that you gave up, 43 to the tight end and then the 49-yard touchdown to Stevie Johnson. Both of those blown coverages?
No, they were not blown coverages. They were not executed properly for us to make the play. And I think on both of those plays, the pass was a shorter pass. It was a catch-and-run play, you know. And on those catch-and-runs, you need more help than the one guy who is covering, you know, the guy at that moment. And we didn't have enough guys in position to help out on those plays. So that's why they ended up big chunk plays.
But they weren't out of position. You just didn't have guys in the right position.
They were not blown coverages, okay? Now, if a guy completes the ball on you, then you might be out of position. But, you know, they were there. We were there on the ball on the tight end crossing route. We just didn't make the play, you know? And then on that shallow catch and run, he came, started up, went shallow, caught the ball, and then outran us.
What about special teams, Romeo? How big a focus will that be? Couple long returns the last 2 weeks on your special teams unit.
Well, you know, it's similar to this team, you know, inconsistency in different areas. In our coverage area, we have to do a better job because we've given up, you know, 2 long returns and last week the return for a touchdown. And some of it is guys overanalyzing what they think they see on the field and not going to the guy with the ball.
Romeo, when you were going through the injured guys, you didn't talk about Arenas. Is he all right? Will he practice full today?
Yep.
With regard to Jamal Charles again for a second, and also the other two ACL guys, Moyaki and Barry, now that you've seen them on the field for two games, do you see any signs that they're still trying to get back to what they were before the injuries, all three of those guys?
You know, all of those guys are playing and producing, and they're practicing, you know, and so they are good enough to play. Now, whether they'll ever be back to what they used to be, I don't know if that's going to be the case, you know, because you've had a reconstruction on your knee. And will it ever be like it was before the reconstruction? I don't know that that will be the case, you know. But that does not keep guys from playing this game.
Specifically with, say, Eric Barrett, what did you see with from him before the injury that you, at least to this point, haven't seen yet?
Well, he seems to be doing, you know, as much as he can do, and he seems to be doing okay. You know, Tony is doing okay. Jamal is doing okay. But I think that we, and when I say we, I'm talking about myself and my staff, we have to be cognizant of the fact that those guys have had major injuries and are trying to recover from major injuries. And so it just doesn't seem smart to just beat the guy's knee up, you know, when you see that a guy's limping. It's not smart to beat him up. And if you lose him again, then you might not have him at all, you know. And so I think there's a thin line that you kind of have to walk sometimes on that.
How would you assess the play of the offensive line overall, but especially there seem to be maybe too many negative plays that are getting you in bad situations?
Right, we were inconsistent, you know, and it wasn't one particular guy that you could put your finger on, but one play, one guy breaks down, another play, another guy would break down, you know, and so that created negative plays for us, and it's hard to overcome negative plays sometimes.
Did you end up playing Flowers more than you wanted to in Buffalo?
Nope.
Did he leave the field at all?
I don't think so.
That was the plan going in?
Well, he said he was ready to play, and he wanted to play as much as he could. And so we said we'd play him if he wanted to play.
Coach, when you look at New Orleans, are they much different? I mean, they don't have a lot of their coaches from last year. So when you see them and you see what they've done in two games, are they a different team? Is it obvious that they've had all this coaching chaos and the stuff that's gone around them? Can you tell that from looking at them from a year ago and now?
Not really. I mean, the results are the only thing that you could look at and say there's a problem, you know. But I think that anytime you lose a leader, like we just mentioned, that there's cause for concern. And so I think that they're trying to deal with that the best they can, you know. But the players on the field, they know how to play the game, and they still play the game. And like I say, defensively, they haven't been stopping people like they used to. And so I think that has had a major impact on them.
To follow that, Romeo, Cromer is an interim coach for an interim coach. You were an interim coach last. How tough is that? How hard is that to fill that interim role?
Well, I mean, you're not... You haven't been the guy, and so now all of a sudden you are the guy, and you know that there's an interim tag. I think that you do the best you can, and you've tried to prepare all your career for an opportunity. So now you got the opportunity, and you do the best with it. You know,
the Chiefs got a bump, pretty good bump when you got your chance at the end of last year. Generally, it doesn't work, or you get a little bump, and then. That team is what it is, I guess. And just how tough is it to get their attention? I mean, you're kind of like the substitute teacher when you're an interim coach. I mean, is there some of that?
No, well, see, when you say substitute teacher or an interim, that means that somebody is standing over your shoulder and is going to be there the next day or the next week or whatever. And I don't think that you look at it like that. You know, when you're the guy, you're the guy, and you have to make decisions and you have to do what you think is best, and then you go forward with it.
All right.